Bah, humbug! We know Scrooge said a pox on all your houses at this time of year. Matt Bashlishan met a fellow who said, for all intents and purposes, bah, humbug, to big band music. All big band music. Well, almost all big band music. There was one piece that he thought was pretty all right. With that Scroogian change of heart, that's the way an area tradition began. Matt Bashlishan is a saxophonist, jazz program director at East Stroudsburg University, and director of the Water Gap Jazz Orchestra, and he sought out the score for the Duke Ellington Billy Strayhorn arrangement of Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite. He and the Water Gap Jazz Orchestra presented the piece in concert last year with special guests, vocalist Nancy Reed and Edward Ellington II, the grandson of the great Duke Ellington, on hand. They're bringing the Ellington Nutcracker back again this Saturday, December 8th at 7 p.m. in Cohen Recital Hall at East Stroudsburg University. We had a chance to speak by phone with Dr. Bashlishan and asked him to tell us the tale.
This was a conversation I had with someone, and their claim was that they didn't like any big band music. That was their position, and I said that's impossible because there's so much big band music out there that everybody would probably like something. You know, I mean, because you have everything from, you know, like Benny Goodman type big band to Buddy Rich big band, more fusion kind of big band. You have stuff that the WDR band in Germany has played that runs the gamut between like contemporary music and classical music and all this kind of stuff. And you have Maria Schneider that's more like movie theme, very extended pieces, things like that. So, I mean, there's got to be something. And this person was just like, well, I don't know. So then he calls me back about a month later and says, you'll never believe it, but I found a piece of big band music I like. And it just so happens that it was the Duke Ellington Nutcracker. So we discussed doing this project because of that, you know, and it's a very special piece of music, and it's something that people don't hear very often.
So you went ahead last year and did it.
So I did it last year. Yeah, I actually found the newest version, which was, I think, pulled directly from the original scores, and it was just kind of edited and checked. Previous to that, there was transcriptions out there, but nothing that came directly from the source. So I went ahead and got that new updated version, and it's probably about as close as you could possibly get without having the original handwritten stuff. And, you know, I might have mentioned this last year, that the original performance of it, I think it was Columbia Records in 1960, was only about like 35 minutes long, which is not terribly long. So I just put in some repeated sections and opened things up for the people in the band to improvise a little bit and kind of stretch out, because, you know, the solos that are in the piece are kind of just written into the phrases of the arrangements and things like that. So they're not very long. So I just extended a couple of those sections, and I made sure everybody had a little piece to be featured in. So that extends it a little bit. And of course, we're being joined by Nancy Reed, who's a wonderful vocalist. So I can't have a concert without featuring her on something. So, you know, we're gonna have her sing a tune as well. So it extends things a little bit, and it'll be a nice length program.
You mentioned solos. So who was in the band around the time that Ellington would have been offering this, putting it out in the world? Who would
be? You know what? I'm not exactly sure who would. I have to check to see who's actually on the recording. But I mean, you know, Harry Carney, of course, was in it. I imagine Johnny Hodges was there, but I could get myself into trouble if I start guessing and I'm wrong. I say this all the time about this piece of music in particular. You know, when you call the brass players to ask them if they want to do it, the first thing they say is, oh, that's great, I love that. And then the second thing they say is, ooh, that's pretty hard. And it doesn't look that hard on paper, but there's just things about it from a brass player's perspective that could be a little troublesome and stressful. I mean, there's kind of phrases that come up out of nowhere, and they might be like awkward rhythms or articulations or in a range that is not that friendly to brass players. And, you know, all the trombonists, I mean, we're playing a version that has four trombones, although Duke's band only had three. So in that regard, it's kind of modified from the original a little bit. But all the trombone parts are very virtuosic. You know, like everybody solos, everybody has a feature. And it could just be like lyrical parts or actual solos, like with the themes and things like that. And then, of course, the woodwind parts are something something in themselves. You know, I mean, like everybody in the saxophone section played clarinet really, really well. And that was kind of a thing about Duke's band that stood out from the other bands. You know, you didn't hear a whole lot of clarinet in Count Basie's band, for example. But everybody played really, really good clarinet. And we have Dan Block playing clarinet, who I think graduated from Juilliard as a clarinet major. And, of course, Jay Ratman, who is a local saxophonist and clarinetist that is absolutely incredible. So between the two of them, there'll be enough clarinet to last until next year. So it's really a treat to hear, though. I mean, it's really hard, and it sounds really good when they do it.
Now, we know that originally this music was written for the ballet, for dancing, and we know that your late colleague, Rick Chamberlain, oh, how hard it is to say goodbye, was a trombonist in the New York City Ballet Orchestra. And we'd often talk about what it meant to do 100 Nutcrackers a season and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But what's dance like about this? Anything?
The interesting thing about it is that, and this is what I tell people, I try to explain, because I had a guy come up to me the other day and say, you know, I know Duke Ellington, and I know the Nutcracker, but what's this when you put them together? Like, what's the funny thing about that? And it retains all of the elements of the original somehow. You know, I mean, you hear the Nutcracker performed by the orchestra, and there's a like an essence about it, a thing about it that kind of always takes you to a certain place. You know, like it's like a magical kind of thing. It's not just the themes, but it's the orchestration of it. And somehow, Duke and Billy Strayhorn managed to keep that essence about it while transforming it completely into a jazz style, no doubt. But it does have a lot of the same dance-like elements, magical elements, and nobody would be like, I'm not really sure which movement this is. You know, I mean, it's all very recognizable still.
What was the impetus, do you know, for their sitting down to do this?
You know what? I don't know. And I did have Edward Ellington II is also joining us again this year, and that is Duke's grandson. And he was even in the band briefly, and he was pretty young and kind of took over the road luggage instrument case handler, you know, when they were traveling. So he was kind of the roadie. And he remembers them playing it and remembers them talking about it, but does not really remember why. You know, it's probably just one of these. He says that Duke and Strayhorn were always working on things, and they always had these ideas, and they would kind of just read each other's minds. And they would even be in opposite sides of the world, and they would have these similar ideas and be working on stuff together. And I think it was just one of those things that, I mean, who knows? I mean, all kinds of crazy ideas come up at night when people are hanging out and things like that. It could have been just a suggestion, and then they went to it.
So what has it meant to have the young Ellington with you? What does he bring besides these wonderful stories? Does he tell them to the audience?
Well, he might this time. He didn't do it last year. The focus of his involvement last year was just kind of to be there, and it was the first time we'd asked him, and he and Nancy both narrated the story. I have a very short story that I got out of a children's book that was illustrated and kind of compiled by an artist named Susan Jeffers, and she was kind enough to give us permission to use this story. But it's just enough that I have segments of the story in between each movement so that you can kind of follow along as to where the music is and things like that. And Edward and Nancy both traded off telling that story. So that was his involvement last year. But, you know, we had lunch this year, and we kind of discussed doing it again and everything. And you know, the stories that he tells are just wonderful. So I really hope he does that. But just in case he doesn't, if anybody wants to read an article they wrote on Edward, we had a reporter there with us at lunch. And that article is up on the ESU website. So that's just esu.edu. And there's a scrolling banner on the homepage, and you can just click on it. It'll say Duke Ellington Nutcracker returns to ESU, and you can find it that way. So it's a nice article.
And he's a musician himself then, you say?
He is. He plays guitar. Yep. And he leads the Ellington Legacy Band, is what they call it. And Nancy Reed was a vocalist in that band, and that's kind of how the whole connection came about. You know, I had Nancy on board to narrate last year, and I was trying to find another person. And she said, well, how about an Ellington? I said, that sounds like a great idea, perfect fit.
And tell us some of the titles of the movements.
Well, we have, instead of like the Sugar Plum Fairy, we have Sugar Rum Cherry, and Tootie Toot, and some of them are the same, but it's just a very interesting, just like the music, just like slightly different but the same, and just that little jazz twist to it.
What did you learn last year that you're going to bring to the performance this year?
There's a lot of things that you learn as a musician, and these are things that I can kind of keep in my pocket, even though I'm directing. I'm not really playing that much. But, you just realize when you're in front of the band and you're hearing it, and of course, I've heard the recording several times over the years, but last year was the first time I really heard this live in front of me. And it's the same, and it has the same power, and it has the same vibe to it. And, all the musicians are obviously completely different, and they're of a completely different generation, and they're probably a different age than the people were in Duke's band when they recorded it. But the way they wrote it and how they write each person's parts, I mean, everybody feels like they're contributing, It's not just like, oh, I have some kind of background thing that doesn't mean anything. And that contributes to the energy of the thing. So even as a writer and arranger myself, you try to pick up on those things and incorporate them into your own style and just try to make all the musicians feel that important. So it's a lot of things I learned just for me, as well as working with the group. But, it doesn't take a whole lot of rehearsal because this music kind of plays itself. So, the guys come in that afternoon, we have a quick rehearsal, make sure everybody's on the same page, and then we're basically ready to go. So that's partly because of the music, but partly because of the band as well.
What did the audience members say to you at the end last year?
Well, it's universally loved. I mean, there was nobody in there that didn't have a good time. I mean, the place looked full. It wasn't full numbers-wise, but it was just about. And that's what we're shooting for this year. But, I mean, everybody had such a good time. That's the type of, it's like the very opening theme. Just the way that it's phrased. You can't help but smile at it because you know it, and it's just, you want to kind of snap your fingers, and it's just like that, And then it just stays that way the whole time. And it does have ups and downs. Like, it's very theatrical in a way. And the orchestration is such that, maybe it'll just be, like a clarinet and the baritone sax with like a tambourine or something. And then you have like a full big band shout chorus a couple minutes later. It's a very wide range of orchestration, and that's good entertainment-wise, too. I mean, it gives you something to listen to. It gives you something to see. You can pick out all the instruments. They're singled out. So it's a very like active kind of performance. If you're sitting there in the audience, there's a lot to see going on.
So they took as much care with this piece as they would have while they're creating something original.
For sure. And, a lot of it is original. I mean, and you don't realize. Like I was saying, like some of the background figures or the accompaniment figures to the themes are straight out of the Ellington Strayhorn type thing. You can't deny that. And that takes a lot of work. So it's very much them as well as Tchaikovsky.
So this is becoming a tradition now, isn't it, Matt?
Well, it's second annual on the thing, so, with any luck, if we get a decent turnout, it's a nice thing to have every year. It's a nice thing to look forward to. And hopefully, as people come and experience it, it's not something that you hear all the time, and it's not even something that you want to hear all the time. It's a very holiday-oriented thing. So it's nice that, this time of the year is coming around and then kind of get everybody together again and have a good time listening to it. And there are a couple nutcrackers out there. Shorty Rogers, who was a trumpet player out on the West Coast, they have a version that was more like a Woody Herman type sax section with like four tenors, three or four tenors and a baritone, no alto. And I believe Glenn Miller has one. And there might even be one more. I have to look at that. But there are a few different versions that we could end up trying. But I just wanted to stick with what worked. And I do think this is, in terms of like difficulty and overall performance value, I think this is the one that really stands out. Of course, the Water Gap Jazz Orchestra, who is performing this, we've been doing every Monday, last Monday at the Deerhead Inn. So that's an ongoing thing, although we're not doing December. We're taking December off because that's New Year's Eve, I believe, and we're doing the Ellington thing. So the next time we do that's going to be the end of January. But we've been doing a lot of stuff with that band, too. And we're kind of focusing on the music of Phil Woods, basically, because there's really no other band that's exclusively playing that stuff. And I feel kind of a responsibility to keep that stuff going. So we're becoming more active, for sure.
And if anybody wanted to learn more, should they go to the ESU website?
Yeah, like I said, if you want to read the article, it's right on the rotating banner on esu.edu. And if you want a ticket link and more information, you can go to esu.edu/jazz@esu. That's all one word. And there'll be a link to tickets and some more information about the location and the time and things like that there.
Now you're directing, so you say you're not playing so much, right? In this, you're not running down from the podium and getting in?
No. I mean, last year I played a tune before the Nutcracker, and then we did the Nutcracker in its entirety. You know, I couldn't have the band there and not take part. So if I decide to do that again this year, I might have to, you know. But we'll see. I mean, it's nice being out in front, too. I mean, there's a certain thing about directing that stuff. You feel just as much a part of it as if you were playing.
If there were one movement you would want to play in, say you could do that bi-location thing, what would you really like to have a hand in just playing because you love
it? I would probably play the opening, the overture, because that's the most recognizable theme. And, like, the way they rearrange the rhythm just slightly, it's, like, really swinging. And it's just fun. It's, like, the most fun thing because it's, like, the first thing you hear, the first thing you recognize, and then you know that this is just going to be that much different.
Dr. Matt Vashlishin, saxophonist, jazz program director at ESU, Stroudsburg University, and director of the Water Gap Jazz Orchestra, speaking about the Duke Ellington Billy Strayhorn arrangement of Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite, to be presented by the Water Gap Orchestra with vocalist Nancy Reed and Edward Ellington II, Duke Ellington's grandson, as guests. The performance will take place in Cohen Recital Hall at East Stroudsburg University this Saturday, December 8th at 7 p.m. For more information, on the web, esu.edu. That's the Duke Ellington Billy Strayhorn arrangement of Tchaikovsky's Nutcracker Suite, directed by Matt Vashlishin, performed by the Water Gap Jazz Orchestra with vocalist Nancy Reed and Edward Ellington II as guests. That's in Cohen Recital Hall at ESU, Saturday, December 8th at 7 p.m. For more information, on the web, esu.edu.